Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Jordan Roybern, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Jordan, you sent out a missive to your free list, actually your free email list, which I recommend everyone signing up for, just recently, which talked about the gold market and signals versus noise in terms of what actually drives the metal's price. And you got into some of what has been, well, some of the gold bulls have been talking about recently, and that is China being included in the SDR and the SDR becoming, who knows, maybe a barometer for gold, maybe the new world reserve currency. There's a lot of jumps that bulls are making in terms of this sort of noise, but you broke it down quite nicely. Can you share what kind of you were trying to get across to gold investors when it comes to actual factors that drive gold and some of this really just noise?
Yeah, Corey, and signals versus noise. This is a concept I got from our friend Bob Moriarty in his book, Nobody Knows Anything. And he's basically talking about how you can boil things down to something that's a signal and then something that's noise. And unfortunately, in the gold market, a lot of information that passes for information is really just noise. It's not a signal or signals. And a signal is something that really it can be verified, or it's really based on hard data. It's something that is objective. And noise is just a lot of the other stuff. I mean, a lot of these conspiracy theories are really noise. And I've received, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I received several emails from subscribers just talking about, well, Jim Rickards is saying that China is pegging the SDR, which is an IMF reserve currency. They're pegging it from 850 to 950. And, you know, I know that Rickards in his talk at the Sprott conference, he tweeted that he was saying, you know, this is a new gold standard and it's at 900 SDR an ounce. And there's this band from 850 to 950. And excuse me, China, they're really the ones controlling the gold price right now. And, you know, it's been going down in dollars, but it's in this band with the SDR. And when I look at the chart of the SDR gold price, which I have in that article, it's really bearish. I mean, it's made this big bearish consolidation since the December 2016 low. And in recent weeks, it's broken down from that consolidation. And so we know that, I mean, it's no secret that in the precious metal space, gold especially, but the sector at large, it's kind of been trading in a range for the last 18 months or so. And granted, we're breaking down out of that range, but it's just, I mean, this looking at the chart, I mean, that tells me the price, it's broken down, it's going lower. It's probably going to continue to go lower. And it's just this, you know, whether this theory about China and the SDR and there's this new gold standard and they're pegging it to this certain level, I mean, whether that's correct or not, the trend in the gold market is pretty clear. I mean, it's down. It's broken trend lines. Silver's broken trend lines. You know, we're probably going to get a bit of a summer rally here. I know we'll talk about that later. But it's just these kind of outside things are really just noise, because we're just, I mean, the things that Jim Rickards says, we're just, it's like, we want to believe it because it gets to our emotions. Oh, there's something else going on in the market and that's why this is happening. And eventually gold's going to go much higher because this is going to happen. I mean, it kind of tugs at our emotions like, oh, well, this guy's an insider. He knows some information that nobody else knows. And it's just all that stuff is noise. I mean, just leaving aside the fact that, you know, a lot of the things that Jim Rickards has said with respect to markets, they rarely come to pass. And I don't mean that to be nasty or anything, but it's just, I mean, most of the stuff that he's talking about, it's noise, because there's no facts there that can be verified. Like, I got an email from someone that said, you know, well, there's this other guy, I won't mention his name, but he's saying that people can't get their gold in size. And, you know, that, why is that? And that means gold's going to go much higher. I mean, whether that's true or not, we can look at the market, we can look at price action, technicals, the fundamentals that you and I talk about, and it's pretty clear what's happening. And a lot of this outside stuff, it's just noise. Like, it really doesn't have an impact on the market. If it was having a positive impact on the market, we'd be seeing it in the price action. You know, maybe we'd be seeing it in real interest rates going lower. you know, or the dollar going a lot lower. But it's just this stuff is purely noise. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of precious metals bulls and bugs can gravitate towards that pretty easily because it kind of tugs at our emotions. But I mean, over time, it's noise and it's proven to be noise. And so we need to leave that stuff aside because it's really not, I mean, it's just not important. And finally, Corey, it hasn't helped anyone make money.
That's the most important thing, though, isn't it? Is that when you take a step back and you listen to all these emotional arguments for the precious metals and for almost like how the financial system is going to self-destruct and we're going to go back to a gold standard, even in that scenario, there are very few people, I think, that would actually benefit from that. Even if you held some shares in companies, if the whole system gets turned on its head, that's not a good situation for the world, for investors. As you said, it's just such an emotional play for these people. And when I think a lot of our listeners are actual investors, not so much gold bugs, that they need to understand that this isn't even a good scenario if something like Rickard's extreme comments are correct.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it doesn't help anyone make money. And I mean, it would be one thing if gold was breaking above 2000 and had this massive breakout and had a lot of momentum, you know, then some of these extreme predictions would be more likely to happen, like perhaps in the shorter term than they are now when the market is clearly breaking down and at some point in the future, it might retest those 2015, 2016 lows. But it's just those comments, they tug at our emotions. And I think that's why people gravitate towards those things. And like, I want to say 10 years ago or so, like I used to gravitate towards those things. But ultimately, I realized, you know, the people making these extreme statements, not based on any signals, it never comes to pass.
Absolutely. It never does come to pass. And it's almost every year or every month or every day there's a different reason, but almost a variation of the same reasons that the same people have been touting. So I don't want to throw too much cold water on it, but it definitely is. You need to understand when something is maybe a bit too emotional. There's some more noise out there, too, that you brought up to me off mic that I think is important to talk about. And that is this whole concept of peak gold. Is it bullish for gold? Is it bullish for exploration companies? What do you think when you hear, again, these bulls touting peak gold?
Well, peak gold, Corey, in my view, whether it's true or not, we really don't know. We can't say. I'm not an expert on that. I'll leave that to somebody else. But let's just say that, you know, peak gold is true. I mean, if it's true, you couple that with the fact that the industry is having a hard time finding new economic deposits. So these factors are really bullish for juniors that make discoveries. And evidence of that in the last couple of years is how well companies, just how money has poured into new discoveries. I mean, Novo went up to $9 without a drill hole, with basically, you know, a video and one sample. Evrim Resources recently had some samples that I think were really bullish. So they haven't had a drill hole, and that thing exploded. And so there's probably some more examples of that. And I mean, we've talked about it on here. I mean, the market needs discoveries. The industry needs discoveries. That's what the market is really looking for. And that's why any hint of a major discovery, we're seeing tons of money flow into those companies. And so that's what's important to remember. Peak gold and you know, gold supply demand and the industry needing these deposits so badly, that's bullish for the companies that are making discoveries. That's bullish for the juniors that are making these discoveries. It's not bullish for the gold price. The gold price itself is not driven by supply and demand. It's driven by monetary factors. And Corey, you know, we hear this, we also hear this comment like, gold is scarce. It's really hard to get your gold. The gold supply, it goes up every year. It grows in perpetuity because gold is not consumed. Maybe a tiny percentage of gold production is consumed, you know, for gold teeth, maybe it's in some electronics, but the vast majority of gold is not consumed. I mean, it goes from person to person, it sits in vaults. There's not a supply problem with gold, it's not scarce. Gold is driven the gold price rather. It's driven by monetary factors. And if we're getting into supply and demand and the difficulties with supply and production, that's bullish for the juniors that are making these discoveries. It has no impact on the gold price because the supply of gold grows every year because the vast majority of gold is not consumed.
That is very true, and that's something to consider. And you know what, the argument can be made that as money is printed, then that should make gold more valuable, but that's not a straight line or a perfect correlation either. Let's now talk about the gold price, because a lot of commentators, a lot, again, of gold bulls have been saying we are due for a bounce. We're in oversold condition. Sentiment is really depressed, although not as depressed as it has been not all that long ago, actually. And so far, the bounce that we've been seeing has been very weak. Now, it is arguably early on in this bounce, but what do you have to say about that whole argument? I know we've talked about it again, but it seems like gold has continued to drift lower as oversold conditions have hung around and depressed sentiment has just further continued.
Yeah, Corey, I've been surprised that gold and gold stocks have been unable to gain a footing here and rebound, although they haven't, you know, with the exception of a couple days ago, they haven't broken down to new lows. So I, you know, maybe it's going to take another week or so to cement interim low here in the precious metals complex. But yeah, I mean, it's surprising to me that we haven't rebounded strongly yet, but we haven't made new lows. And I think the sector is still fairly oversold, that I'm not really worried about the sector going to a new low here in the next couple of days. I don't think there's enough selling power. I think, like I said, it'll take another week or so to kind of cement a bottom here. The one thing I will mention about sentiment, the COT, and I measure these as the net speculative position as a percentage of open interest, because it gives me a consistent reading over time. And it's very easy for me to compare something that happens today versus, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And at the December 2015 bottom, when gold came down to about 1040, that net spec position was about 0.1%. So basically it was zero, where we almost had no speculation in the market. Like literally there was maybe only 1,000 or 2,000 contracts. Now, if you compare that to the last reading, I believe it was 13%. However, that was on the previous Tuesday, and gold actually traded lower. Like that was when gold was around 1330, I want to say. So this next reading that we'll get on Friday, which is the data as of yesterday, Tuesday, I mean, it's possible that could be around 10%, but that's really, I mean, Corey, in the context of a downtrend for gold with respect to, you know, what's really an extreme bearish level in the COT, like I want to see below 15%. I want to see 10% or in the single digits. Within the context of a downtrend, that's extreme. Now, if gold were going up, even in making new highs, 20 or 30%, that can be really extreme on the bearish side. So you have to view it in the context of how the market's trending. And I think finally, last week, and we'll probably see it this Friday in the COT, that's going to show a real extreme in that reading. Because if you go back the last couple weeks, myself and many others were looking for gold to bottom, but the net spec position in gold was, I mean, it was around 20%, which, I mean, that's fairly low. But like I said, in the context of a downtrend, you really need to get below 15% to be extreme. So there's two things. Number one, I think we're going to see an extreme reading this week. So that'll be positive, I think, for next week. And secondly, one thing to remember with the DSIs, the Daily Sentiment Index, the COT is more important because the COT is based on real money. The DSI is traders being pulled. And so that's one thing we have to understand with sentiment indicators. There's polls where people are giving their opinions, and then there's ones that actually deal with the real money. And the ones with the real money, like the COT, those are a lot more significant. So several weeks ago, the DSIs were already at extremes. But, I mean, they can hit extremes, and they can stay there for several weeks before the market turns and gets a counter trend move. So that's just something to keep in mind. The COT, I think, is really the holy grail of sentiment indicators. And we are going to see this Friday, I believe, even another step as far as another data point, as far as sentiment being extreme. So with that said, I mean, I'm surprised the market hasn't rallied that much yet, but I still think the path of least resistance over the next month or two is probably higher.
Okay, I do agree with you there, Jordan, is that short term, it is definitely due for a bounce. That is the precious metals, but the damage that has been done has taken us a lot further away from any of those highs that we really need to take out to get some of these trend followers, to get some of these generalist investors back on board. But first things first, let's just get brought up more to the middle to higher range of the trading range. Jordan, great chatting with you. Thanks again for your time, and thanks again for some more level-headed comments for the precious metals.
My pleasure, Corey.